It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Welcome to the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. This is another Wednesday of great sports talk here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to get into some hot topics. LeBron James and the Miami Heat. I got to do whatever it takes. LeBron spoke in his press conference. I got to do whatever it takes. What is whatever it takes? Do you think the Miami Heat are in serious trouble at this point with the San Antonio Spurs? That's right, I said it. With the San Antonio Spurs. And Tim Tebow is back. Tebow is back. The New England Patriots has signed Tim Tebow. Does this cause controversy for the New England Patriots? We'll get into that here on the Tony Sands Show. We're also going to get into a little Chad Ochocinco. That's right, I said Chad Ochocinco and what happened to him in court. What happened to him in court this week? You heard that, slapping his lawyer on the backside. Slapping his lawyer on the backside. Other sports topics that we're going to talk about. The Celtics, Doc Rivers is still mulling over what he wants to do with his future. Do he feel like he should move on, or is it time to move on from the Celtics itself? But we're going to get into a lot of that. And when my main man Bibbs come in, we're going to debate a lot of this stuff because I feel it is up for debate. But I still say the Heat are in trouble, folks. The Heat are in trouble from several standpoints. LeBron is not playing his best basketball in this series of playing with the Spurs. He's not playing his best at all. Not one bit. Sanchez is looking with the Jets, is looking to become the starting quarterback. He's looking to become the starting quarterback for the New York Jets. Will it happen? Folks, we're going to wait and see. I think they said he's playing his best ball at this time. He's playing his best ball at this time. So I'm going to tell you. But it's been a week of great sports going on. And as you say, like as I told you, when my main man Bibbs come on, we're going to get into that. But we're going to go to a quick commercial. And when we come back, guess what? Is the Heat heated up for what the Spurs are going to bring to them? Stay tuned to that later here in the Tony Sands Show.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
That will happen in an NBA Finals series. And I'll tell you what it harkens me back to. I remember the Detroit Pistons against the Los Angeles Lakers back in 2004. I remember when they stomped the Lakers, but they were up 2-1. And they were about to start game 3. And my boy Shaquille O'Neal walked off the layup line and rolled over to me and said, "What I need to do." And I looked at Shaquille O'Neal and said, "Oh, you got to dominate. You can't have been
in Washington. Jack asked you what he needed to do before the game.
No, because I get on him. Remember, I told you, Mama Shaq would get on me for not getting on Shaq. It's not like he needs my expertise. He knows what to do. But okay. He knows I'm going to call him on okay. it. You understand what I'm saying? Just like there are some athletes that tweet you, like Ocho Cinco, what should I do? Not that your advice
helps me,
but that's a different subject for another day.
Now, you're back here on the Tony Sands Show. You heard Stephen A. Smith talking about the Lakers series when it looked as if the Lakers were in trouble at this point in the game. But welcome to the show. My main man, Bibbs, is here on the show, on the Tony Sands Show. What's up, B? What's going on, man?
Not too much, Tony, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing ecstatic. We're going to get a chance to talk about the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs. Heat is in trouble, man. The Heat are in trouble.
Definitely. They definitely are. They definitely are in a lot of trouble right now, especially if LeBron keeps playing the way he's been playing. They don't have a shot without him.
At all. And when you look at this series, through the three games against the San Antonio Spurs, you got to figure LeBron is shooting 38.9% from the field and is averaging 16.7 points, 12.3 rebounds, 7.3 assists, and two turnovers. LeBron has been playing very sluggish in the past two games against the Spurs defense. And he's committed and has come out and stated that I will do whatever it takes to win game four. Do you think that he'd have enough to win game four? Or did the San Antonio's with that 113-77 slacking, as you heard me say, slacking, have taken the fire out of, well, as I say, has taken the heat out of the Miami Heat.
Well, you know, Tony, they definitely did steal the Heat's thunder in this last game with, like you say, a slacking, because that was definitely a slacking. But I know the Heat, they're previous champions. I mean, so are the San Antonio Spurs, but the Heat won a championship last year, so I can't say they haven't been there before. But like I said last week, it's going to take a collective team effort from everybody on the Miami Heat team for them to even have a chance at beating the Spurs. The Spurs are a well-coached, they probably have the best basketball coach in the NBA in Greg Popovich. And he has his team ready to play each and every night. Now, I doubt it that San Antonio will hit as many threes as they hit in this previous game because they were on fire.
Like,
I have never seen three balls go down like that in the NBA Finals game ever in my life. Yeah, and I doubt it that they'll have a game like that. Now, San Antonio's a very good three-point shooting team. So I know they'll continue to shoot the threes, but I don't know if they'll fall or continue to fall like they fell in the previous game. But as far as the Heat, LeBron. I've never seen LeBron play this bad. And I know in his head as the game's going on, he's like, I can't believe this is happening to me. But he's going to have to, come out there. He's going to have to wake up and he's going to have to, put his troops on his back and he's going to have to, play better, basically. I mean, but San Antonio's defense is no pushover. Like, I don't expect anybody in the NBA, not even including LeBron, to just run through San Antonio's defense. It's not going to happen.
And that's right. But when you look at this and you say, okay, LeBron has, he came out and said, I got to do whatever it takes, meaning I got to do whatever it takes to get a win here in game four. Because if they're not able to, and we hear so much saying this is a pivotal game, and we heard the Heat speak about this last game was an important game to them, and you lose that game. Now, how critical is game four for them?
Oh, it's very critical because if they lose a game, they're down 3-1, and they're not heading back to Miami.
Exactly. They're in San Antonio.
They're going to play another game in San Antonio, and that's going to be a closeout game for San Antonio. And like I said previously, with San Antonio being in the finals before, they know how to close out of finals. And I don't see them losing that last game in San Antonio if it's a closeout game.
I don't see them. And like you said, they got to end it in San Antonio.
Right.
If it goes
the
distance.
And they know that.
Now, how bad is that playing on their psyche that we know, okay, if we lose this game here, we still got to be in San Antonio. We got to end this thing in San Antonio. And are we prepared enough to play a veteran team like San Antonio back in San Antonio to close it out? Are they that strong of a veteran team that the Heat feel like, you know, that they can win that in San Antonio? I don't think it happens. That's why I say, now, game four, you talk about critical game. This is a critical game for the Miami Heat. LeBron got to come out playing better. Wade and Bosh got to put it all together. But I think the key component to all this, and that out of all these guys that go underestimated, I think it is the Birdman. The Birdman's going to have to come out and play tough. Bosh has got to step his game up. I think, to me, when you look at the three guys, the big three as they call, I think it's going to be critical for LeBron. He knows it's critical, but I think Bosh has got to be one of those guys that got to help this team more than the rest of these guys from a standpoint of playing physical.
Definitely. With you know, San Antonio has arguably the best power forward to ever play the game of basketball in Tim Duncan. Not to mention they have a young stud in Thiago Splitter playing center for them right now. And I honestly don't see Birdman being able to maintain those two seven-footers in the paint by himself. Chris Bosh is definitely going to have to come in, going to have to put his big boy pants on and have to bang. He's going to have to bang. I mean, LeBron James has been rebounding in the first, it was that game when he had 18 rebounds. Like, LeBron shouldn't have to have 18 rebounds for them to have a chance to even compete in this series. Bosh is going to have to step in and get you 8 to 9, maybe 10 boards a game for them to have a chance inside.
This is critical. But folks, if you want to chime in here with me and Mr. Bibbs as we talk Miami Heat or the Miami Heat in trouble, you can call us here on the Tony Sands Show at 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. Or you can call our direct line at 530-763-1594. That's our direct line, 530-763-1594. That means you can come in and call and talk to me or Mr. Bibbs about sports, what's going on Miami Heat. If you want to chime in on this Miami Heat topic and you don't think that the Miami Heat is in trouble, you call here on the show to the Tony Sands Show, and we will go back to back and let you see if the Heat are in trouble or if they're not. But let's get back into this Heat thing with the big three. When they bought this big three in, I think this year, I think it was going to be critical. But I think everyone underestimated, Bibbs, they underestimated the San Antonio Spurs. I didn't think that they felt that Indiana would give the Heat its toughest matchup and that it would be an easy road to winning the championship with the San Antonio Spurs. And I think those people that are Heat fans down here, and I always talk about Heat fans because you don't know when they became a Heat fan. They just are Heat fans. Right. Miami have so many feather-weather fans, and we talked about that earlier a little while ago one time in the show, how they fans operate. I don't think they are loyal fans. I think they're either LeBron James fans or the Dwayne Wade fans. I don't think they're true Heat fans. And if you want to debate me on it, you call here on the Tony Sands Show, and we will debate that topic because I know about this history of the Miami Heat and when this thing started getting big. But as Tim Duncan – it's been quoted, and he's saying that you know about LeBron James, that they guard him, they know he is, they understand what kind of player he is, and that he's the best player in the world. We respect him as that. We're trying to make, you know, they're trying to make his decision making difficult so that what it puts them in a better position at all times, so they can knock off the Miami Heat and bring home another championship to your state, Texas. But I still say I think game four is going to be critical for them because I don't see them. If they don't win this game here, I think everyone in Miami are going to start taking off their, you know, white out heat, whiteout heat. I went to, as a matter of fact, I went to the Bruce Room and I watched the last, not this game, this last, not the last game, but the game, the second game, and I watched everybody in there whiteout heat, their room, let's go Heat, let's go Heat. If game four doesn't play in the way for the Miami Heat, a lot of sports bars in South Florida are going to be empty come game five. Because at that point, I think people know, guess what? We're out of this thing. We're out of this thing, and ain't no use us continuing to support that because we're not in it. But I'm going to tell you, go ahead, B, go ahead.
I want to ask you a question. So with LeBron, you know, having such a terrible series that he's having, how do you think this affects his legacy as one of the greatest basketball players to ever play the game?
Now, you know, that's always been the question. That's going to always be a question because when you look at the greats, let's look at Michael Jordan with the rings that he has, and let's look at Kobe because they're always going to compare him in that light of both of those guys.
Exactly.
Both of those guys have several championships. Both of those guys have several championships. LeBron at this point, if you don't win this here, if you don't win this here and start stacking on the championships, how many more teams can he go to try to get a championship? Because I think if they don't win this here, I see there's a possibility that the big three will possibly go to big two. I don't see them continuing in this big three legacy because I think this is the pivotal point for that big three because I think at some point someone decides and that person's got to either be, and I think it becomes Bosch that he decides he wants his own team, but do people put out that kind of money for Bosch? And I don't think so, but I think this dynasty, as short-lived as it will be, will not continue after this season, especially if the Heat does not bring that championship. But like I said, LeBron James got to win. There's no doubt he got to win this if he want to be listed in those greats of the Michael Jordans and the Kobe Bryant. It reminds me back to when Dan Marino and Peyton Manning couldn't win the big one. And people went and said, will these guys ever be considered some of the greatest? Dan Marino, one of the greatest guys when it came to on the field, slinging the ball, putting it where it needed to be, putting up so many points. But guess what? There's one thing that he does not have that puts him in that upper echelons of the Troy Aikmans, of the John Elways, of those guys like that, is that ring. And LeBron James.
That ring means a lot to athletes, professional athletes. Like it really puts the icing on top of the cake when you talk about legacies. You know, Jordan has six rings, Kobe has five, Shaq has what, four? You know, like that's and the rings was what top it off. And I really feel like if LeBron if they somehow, you know, lose this series, and like you said, the teams split up. And a Bosh or Wade, if somebody's either traded next season. Like, I don't even see LeBron continuing his career in Miami. I think he even leaves. You know, and that's gonna bring even more, you know, to his legacy. Or, you know, it might bring criticism, but at the same time, you know, it might bring some positive to his career. He might be able to win with another team, but who knows? We'll know. We'll see. Game four, big game.
Outside of Shaq, when we talk about Shaq because of his greatness, but outside of Shaq, when you look at Kobe and you look at Michael Jordan, those guys stayed in one place and won those championships. When you become a journeyman to try to win championships in the NBA, it's a lot different when you're becoming a journeyman in the NFL and winning championships, because I look at one guy in the NFL, and that is Deion Sanders. That was a journeyman and won championships in a couple places.
Right.
I don't see that in basketball because I think, like, just as golf and just as track and just as you know, several sports like basketball to where one guy can dribble up and down the court and make things happen. It's a lot different than football because with football, you need all 11 to make things happen. And I think that puts a damper on his legacy even greater because if you don't get it this time, it's going to be a tough road for him to get another championship somewhere else. And when you look at the NBA, where could he go and possibly put on another championship to where he don't have to mix with the chemistry? Because you got to remember, when this dynasty came along, it took him a little time to put together and gel together. And right. I think, you know, it's going to be very, very, very pivotal in this game four. And I beg to say it's going to be a tough fight in San Antonio for the Miami Heat to win this game because as you look at it, even down to their Miami's offense, the meltdown in this series has been horrendous. Chris Bosh, you know, he got to play tougher. You got to find that rhythm. You got to play tougher in the paint. You can't just let people disrespect you. And sometimes I think, you know, I don't see him as that dominant, you know, just that mean, nasty. One thing about Shaq, Shaq was a dominant guy, but Shaq was a mean, nasty guy. And that's why I think I love the Celtics. And I am a Celtics fan. And I'm going to tell you this, you know, you must stay the course of your team. Some people say, okay, well, my team's not in it, so I'm going to go with the Miami Heat. To me, you don't do that. You do not do that. You stay the course. If you are a Boston fan, you stay a Boston fan. If you are a Laker fan, you stay a Laker fan. You don't dress up in your Heat colors and say that's my second team.
True fans don't have second teams.
That's how
I was raised. You know, that's how I learned it. A true fan doesn't have a second team. A true fan sticks to his first original team that he, I guess, grew up loving. Or, you know, maybe came into maybe as his teen years. But, exactly. You know, I always thought that you shouldn't have a second team. I have one team that I like, and if they're not in it, I'm not pulling for anybody. I'll give you a winner. I'll pick a winner for you who's in, like right now, I'll pick a winner, San Antonio. That's who I picked to win the championship. But that doesn't mean I'm a Spurs fan. I'm quick to tell you, I'm no Spurs fan. I'm a Rockets fan. I grew up a diehard Rockets fan. And my team's not in it. But I pulled for the Spurs.
Yeah. And I, you know, like I tell, I'm a Celtics fan. And I'm a, you know, my guys are not in it. And I wanted to go up in the Bruce room with my Celtic green, you know, give Bobby some Celtic green and let people know, yeah, my team's not in it, but I am going to stay to the course.
You should have did it, Tony. You should have did it.
I should have, you know, I know they would have, you know, the fans down here, you know, these fair weather fans would have, you know, they would have went crazy. But let's get on the Celtics, though. Now, let's get on because they are in the news right now also.
Right. They are.
Rivers. Doc Rivers. Oh, man, we can't lose Doc Rivers, but has the fire left Doc Rivers and the desire to continue to win and guide the Celtics into that winning echelon, has that flame died in Doc Rivers? And I think what's making this thing so tough for Doc, as I heard in the interview today. As a matter of fact, before we get into it, we're going to play audio number 22. We're going to play that audio for you and let you hear from some of the sports guys that spoke around the country today, and we were able to get one of the clips from their audio that talked about it. Because he is critical for the San Antonio Spurs. But without Parker, do we still see them being able to pull off this championship?
I would say if game four is won, definitely. Now, if game four is lost and we're at a 2-2, we have a whole new series.
Correct.
You know, and without Tony Parker at 100%, I kind of see that's a positive for the Miami Heat. Now, I still believe that, like I said, Popovich is a great coach, and he'll find his way to work his way around not having Tony, just as they did this last game. Tony didn't even really play much in the second half, but the threes were falling so much, you know, that they didn't really need him.
Correct.
But I think it will play an effect on the series, you know, without having Tony. Tony's, like, he's a dynamic point guard. If not, he probably was the best point guard in the NBA this year, you know, and he will be missed. You know, if he's unable to go with a hamstring, you know how hamstring injuries are, how they go. They're nothing to play around with, you know, and they can linger on you for you know, long periods of time. So, you know, we never know. Hopefully he's able to play, if not even 100%, at least 80-85%. And that I think that'll be effective enough and they'll, you know, pull out the series. But if not, then without him and a loss, oof. I mean, I that might give Miami the life that they need to maybe possibly get back into the series and maybe go on and win it. But who knows? We don't know. But I think it will affect the series in some type of way.
And people, as you said, we talk about Tony Parker, because those that are joining the Tony Sands Show, we're here talking about the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs. Are the Miami Heat in trouble when it comes to game four? But as we said, you know, he was diagnosed, you know, he had an MRI on Wednesday, had the MRI on, and it revealed a one grade strain hamstring, the mildest level of, you know, of a hamstring that you can list, and he's day to day. I think with the grade of a one strain in the hamstring, having hamstring issues, because I was a speedster in my day, folks, having that, if it's that mild, I think he would be ready. I'm quite sure he's going to have a round-the-clock treatment, probably going to have some acupuncture to get it ready. I see him playing. That's why I still say to this day that the Miami Heat are in trouble too, the San Antonio Spurs. Don't let this here lure you to sleep, because Tony Parker, I guarantee you, will be playing in Game 4. I guarantee it. You know, like I said, it wasn't a tear, which was good news. That's the one thing that you didn't want to hear, because at that point, yeah, he has to sit down, because a hamstring is the type of thing make you feel like you've been shot out. Somebody done shot you out of a cannon and shot a cannon at you from the stadium, because it will make you limp up. You see a lot of athletes, you know, sometimes when they're getting beat, the first thing they do, they pull an old hamstring trick. Let me grab my hamstring because I know this joker is coming. But I'm going to tell you, that's the – and Mark, I'm going to tell you something now. Mario Chalmers has got to – you know, he's got to play a lot better. He's going to have to play a lot better to help them guys also. And I think they get a lot of – they will get a lot of help this game from their bench, but they need LeBron James to stand up. But now, let's get back into Doc Rivers. And I think we're ready. I think we have that already, that audio ready to go. Let's listen at this, because I want to get into this about Doc Rivers, because it brings me up to several things. Are the Celtics wearing down? Have their roster become old? Is Doc Rivers losing the flame to continue to coach the Celtics? Let's listen to this.
Is ready for a change. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, sources close to this situation have told me that Doc, you know, he loves coaching. He loves coaching in Boston, but that he feels like it may be time for a sure at this point what exactly he wants to do. He's really struggling with this decision. Doesn't really want to go through a rebuilding process, which clearly the Celtics are headed for, but he's very tight with the president, Danny Ainge, and that is one thing that's making it a tough decision for him.
Now, you heard that as my main man was saying there, Steve Broussard, is that, you know, there are several factors that are playing into this. And let's be now, money, number wise, you know, he'll be walking away from a 3-year, $20 million remaining on his contract. He will be walking away from $21 million of a 5-year, $35 million contract. But as he said, he do not want to go through this process of rebuilding, which we know, I am a Celtics fan, that the Celtics are in the phase of rebuilding. And Doc Rivers got to find out, can he, as a guy that is high motivated as he is, can he continue to keep the flame burning here at the Boston Celtics. Now, and let's look at Boston's roster, because Boston is another team I think that we must take a look at when we're talking about a team that is rebuilding, because that they are rebuilding, and they're rebuilding at a high level. Do this team have it to get back to where they need to go, or do this time, is it time at this point to start dumping some of the old and try to bring in a new? Do you think that will play a pivotal point in Doc Rivers' return?
I mean, his roster, definitely his roster is going to play a pivotal part. I mean, Doc Rivers used to winning. He's been winning in Boston since he, you know, joined the team. And for him to have a roster so depleted like he had, I mean, the Boston Celtics really missed Rajon Rondo this past season with the ACL injury.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, they really did.
But then I still think they also miss my main man that's down here with the Miami Heat also.
Right.
I still say they missed them threes coming out of Ray's hand. I still say that, because when you look at this roster and Rajon gone, so now that hurts you. Now when we look at their salaries is enormous. You look at, you know, Rajon Rondo. Rajon Rondo is, you know, $11 million. He has $11 million salary in 2012 and 2013. And then you look at Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce has $16 million. He's due $16 million this year. Kevin Garnett is due $11 million, $11.5 million. This is a roster of high end guys, and can these guys? You got to figure Paul Pierce is 35 at this point. Kevin Garnett is 37. And these are their big guys. Rajon is only, you know, he's 27. So we can say, okay, he got some years in. But their salary, their guys and their age and their salary, they're up there. So it's going to be pivotal. Do you see one of those guys, possibly Paul Pierce? And when I look at it, I think, do they start trying to figure out what do they do with Paul Pierce?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for him to be with his contract year coming up, and for him to be, I mean, the money that he's going to make, I honestly think that put him on a trading block. I don't think it'll be a fan favorite, a decision that the fans would, you know, particularly like, or a team, or his teammates particularly would like, because I think they enjoy playing with Paul. But as far as business goes, he goes on a trading block this year. You know, he might go to a team, maybe a contender, a team that, you know, is in a hunt for a championship. You know, somebody that could use a shooting guard / three guard that can put the ball in the basket.
Exactly.
But the money right now, I don't think the Boston pays him, you know, all hands dish him out another contract. You know, this is it for him. And it might be it for Kevin Garnett also. You know, some team might want his services as far as the playing inside goes, and he might be on the trading block also, you know, to go help a team that could possibly win a championship. Only person I feel that might be there is Rajon Rondo, you know, and, you know, and Jeff Green, with him coming into the player that he's becoming. You know, he's going to be a star. He's going to be a star in this league for a long time. He actually showed a lot in the playoffs and throughout the regular season that he can be, you know, a star. And he can take over as a starter, you know, at that small forward / power forward position in the NBA. So, you know, it's going to be a rebuilding phase for the Boston Celtics. And like you said, I don't think and to get back on Doc Rivers, I don't know if he's particularly, you know, ready to go through a rebuilding phase at this point in his career. Like, he wants to win. You don't remember great coaches like Phil Jackson and, you know, Popovich, or, you know, even older coaches that coached well years ago, going through rebuilding phases this late in their career. They want their coach contenders, and that's what they want to coach. They don't want to be known for going through rebuilding phases and losing seasons at this point in his career. So it might be time for a change. And I can't blame him for that if that's what it is. If it's time for a change, then it's time for a change. Time to move on. That's what happens in this world. We change. People change like the season.
Things get old, and the motivation sometimes tend to leave us. And when it leaves us, we start questioning this great game that we have played for so long, is it what we truly, truly want? But we're going to head to a commercial break. When we come back now, I'm going to tell you what I want to talk about when we come out of this commercial break. Tebow is back. Tebow is back.
I love Tebow.
Tebow is back, and back. But how long do Tim Tebow stay back? Stay tuned here on the Tony Sands Show as we talk Tim Tebow.
Sensational parties and more by Clandra's Fans, where they decorate for your occasion. Whether it's for weddings, baby showers, anniversary, graduations, homecoming, cherries, proms, and more, give them a call. They have it all. She caters to all Tri-County areas, Palm Beach County, Broward and Dade County. Also, ask about affordable party packages. She has one to fit your party budget. Call and mention this ad and receive $50 off your service. That's right, $50 off your services. Presented to you by Sensational Parties and More by Clandra Sands. Call at 954-708-0581. That's 954-708-0581. Call now.
If you have a need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G. Strange when you're raised in a dope hole. No food if you can't get your dope sold. My uncle just died and it can't be. Tell me this, who made it?
It's already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me.
Stress get thick, but I won't fold. Devil hoping that I switch, but I won't go. Riding in my whip, I'm a lonely. On the side of the Lord, where I'm gon' be. Swerve, but I take back control. Hometown looking back at the popo. Shaw smell blood in the blue sea. In the streets, they'll kill for a hoesie.
I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me.
Straight to the top, that's for sure. 2 clocks, 2 texts, and a 4-4.
And we are talking Tim Tebow. Before we went to commercial break, Tim Tebow is back, folks, here on the Tony Sands Show. Tim Tebow is back with an NFL team. He did not have to go to Canada. He did not have to go to the Arena League, as so many people thought. He was picked up by the New England Patriots, signed with the New England Patriots this week. What do you think of that, Bibbs, when you hear Tim Tebow with the New England Patriots?
Well, first off, I'm excited for Tim Tebow, man. I'm happy for him because he's taken so much, you know, not necessarily criticism, but he's been through a lot, you know, since he signed with the New York Jets and then was released this past year. you know, this past off season, and we know with all the speculations of him, they wanted him possibly to go to the Canadian Football League, Arena Football League, all these different leagues. When I know that Tim Tebow is a good enough player to play in the NFL, the National Football League, you know. And with that being said, he signed a 2-year contract with the New England Patriots, which I always thought would probably be the perfect fit for him, you know, to go learn under Bill Belichick, which is a genius for a head coach. And, you know, they signed him as a quarterback, but at the end of the day, I definitely feel like Belichick will find a way to use Tim Tebow's skill set. Maybe not as a passer, but somewhere along the lines of, the different schemes that Bill Belichick puts out on the field with his tight end sets and, you know, H-backs or whatever, they'll find a way to use Tebow some type of way. Maybe not early in the season, but maybe later in the season. But, I'm happy for Tebow. I'm excited that he's back in the NFL. And I think that this is a perfect fit for him being in New England with how they keep everything under wraps and everything, you know, to themselves. They're not real media. They're not real big as far as the media.
They're not media guys.
Everything under wraps. And that's perfect situation for a guy like Tim Tebow, who brings so much attention and so much of a circus behind him because of the person that he is, the great person that he is, you know. And, this is a great fit for him. I mean, it's really all I can say. This is a great fit for him. I'm happy for him. Like, I'm truly excited for him. I'm a Tebow fan, but I always have been. I've never understood the criticism that he took being an NFL quarterback. If he wins games for you, I don't care how he throw the ball. I don't care if he throws it like he's skipping rocks. If it gets
there, as they get there and you win.
And they're winning football games,
that's all it counts. That's all it counts. That's the ultimate goal. Going into a football game is to win at all costs. And I've heard my coach said several times, you win this game at all costs, you pay the price. And Tim Tebow has done just that. He has played the game. He has won at all costs. But I'm going to tell you, one thing about Robert Kraft, you know, I look at certain owners in the NFL. I look at Robert Kraft, and I look at Jerry Jones, and I look at Daniel Snyder. Because I say these three guys are the top owners in the NFL, and I think they really pretty much at some point controls the NFL to a certain degree, because their franchise are the highest grossing, you know, franchise in the NFL. But then I'm gonna tell you what, I'm gonna read off a little bit of thing of what Robert Kraft said about Tim Tebow. He said, I'm embracing him with open arms as well, saying he's particularly impressed with the quarterback's work ethic and attitude. And that's coming from the owner, a guy that took a chance to say, hey, we're going to bring him in, because I think if you bring him in with Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick is the type of guy that can control that media. He played mind games with them. He controls his players. I've never seen a guy that brings guys in that people have written off in the NFL and say, guess right. what? I can make this work. I can make
and
it work.
Works.
And it works. I haven't seen, you know, outside of Chad, I think, was the only one I see that he bought in. And I don't know if that was on his part or that was just from a standpoint that Chad Ochocinco just could not learn that complicated system. But now Tim Tebow is, you know, and the best thing about it, as you say, Tim Tebow is not going up against. He's not in a situation where there's going to be a quarterback controversy, because the media understands there's no way he gets Tom Brady's job. And now he got a fight with Ryan Mallett, who is a heck of a quarterback, to even get the second job. Belichick never has said that, hey, this is his position, that's his position. Hey, we brought him in the best way that we can use him to help the team. And he's made that clear. He didn't get into a debate. He opened and closed his communication to the media with just that. We brought him in to help the team. We brought him in to help the team. And the media is not going to jug at Brian Belichick, because they know Brian Belichick will walk off and leave him standing there. And Robert Kraft pretty much is not going to say much.
Right.
You know, then Tim Tebow is walking into a great position, because he's walking into a guy like Tom Brady that is not fearing for his job, and a guy that is willing to help this young guy understands the Patriots offense, you know, versus when Brett Favre and Brett and what's his name, my guy, Ryan, at Green Bay fell out, and Brett said that he would not, he refused to tutor him. He refused to tutor Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. He refused He refused to tutor him. And I think that was a selfish move on Brett, and I think Brett will continue to have to pay for that. But I think, see, with the difference between those two guys, I think Brady is confident in who he is as a player, and he knows one day he will be in the Hall of Fame. So, and Tim Tebow want to be around one of those type of guys that will be in the Hall of Fame so he can learn from. And I think Tim Tebow want to learn and is a teachable guy that would love to learn from Bill Belichick, and Michael Irvin called Bill Belichick probably one of the greatest minds the game have ever seen.
Definitely.
And, you know, Mike has coached, you know, he's been with some great guys. He, you know, he was brought in by Tom Landry, and he you know, played for Jimmy Johnson in two different eras. So when something like that comes from a guy like that, you know Coach Belichick is a unique mind, and I think Tim Tebow understands just that, that, you know, hey, he has something here. This is his shot. This is, you know, Belichick, and as I said, Belichick tend to go against the grain. Him and Jerry Jones are guys that tend to say, you know what? You guys say you guys can't do it. I'm going to do it. And like you said, we know Belichick is that genius mind of saying, okay, what you guys said can't happen, I'm going to make happen. I'm going to make guys, you know, their careers. I'm going to continue to flourish their careers here in New England because I know about it. I know how to handle the guys. And I think he's here go again with Tim Tebow to where he can handle Tim Tebow and the circus that does come with the guy like Tim Tebow. Because the media circus during their mini camps has been crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. You got a guy like Tom Brady who is a phenom football player when he goes out. Paparazzi's follow him all over. Now you got another paparazzi favorite in Tim Tebow on the same team. Wow. That star power, if I've ever seen it, if I've ever seen it, the only person that's lost in this thing, I think, is Ryan Mallett, man.
Ryan, yeah, he might get lost. He's gonna get lost. People are gonna be like, "Who is Ryan Mallett?"
Exactly.
You know, and us football, you know, people that watch follow sports, we know who Ryan Mallett is. He was a great quarterback at Arkansas. You know, super tall quarterback. I've never seen a quarterback that tall before. But he's great. But one thing to get back on Tebow, I would love to see Tebow on the field at another position other than quarterback. With the way his running, he was gifted with a running ability. And I would love to see him have the ball in his hands at some point and be able to, you know, show that running ability, you know, after the catch. And I really think at some point throughout this season that the Patriots will find a way to get him on the field and use him as a weapon, you know, instead of just a third-string quarterback on the roster. You know, just, I mean, he'll get an opportunity to learn from Tom Brady, and that's great. But this guy is gifted. This guy's not, he hadn't made it this far by just, you know, being a quarterback. He made it this far by the intangibles that he brings to the field as far as his locker room presence, his leadership, and his mobility on the field, and his durability on the field. And I would love to see Tebow, you know, play something else. Now, I know Tebow has come out publicly and stated that he wants to play quarterback, but Tebow, he's an athlete. He's a great athlete at that, and I think that he will be a lot better at something else other than right now in his career. Maybe he could be a quarterback later, but right now in his career, I think he would be a great positional player, maybe as a tight end or even in a slot, you know, because he can, like this guy can move.
Yeah, he can move. He has athletic ability, and I think before they even sign this guy, and with the genius mind that Bill Belichick has, Bill Belichick knew that where and how he wanted to use Tim Tebow before he bought him in. because that's right. The kind of genius mind that he is. And right now he's already ironing that out. Hey, we're going to use him like this. We're going to put him here. We're going to move him around here. We're going to put him possibly in a slot as an H-back and see what we can do with him there. We're going to run a couple of trick plays with him. And, you know, just enjoy having a guy like that around your team to lift your team up. And they already know how they're going to use Tim Tebow, and we were waiting to find that out.
We're going to continue to wait until it happens, because we know, all of us know, that Belichick is not going to give us anything now.
He is tight up there in New England as they ever come. He's stone-faced at some time and don't play with me. I would love to see him smile.
Well, I saw him crack a smile a couple of times, Tony. And I say a couple of times, literally maybe twice. But I have seen it before.
You know,
Super Bowl winning, when they won a Super Bowl.
Okay. All right. I'm quite sure at that point. But it's not often that you get a chance to see a guy like Bill Belichick crack a smile. A guy like that, I bet it's different when they're home, though.
Right. Yeah, he might be a jokester. We never know. I think I actually saw, maybe not a documentary, but, you know, somebody covered a story about him and somebody else, and they said that he smiles and he jokes and he has a personality other than the personality that we see on Sundays, you know. So I think he's a good guy. He's definitely a great coach, but I think he has another side to him that we just don't see.
I mean, and that's, I'm going to tell you something. One of the writers in an article wrote this to Tim Tebow, because we got 3 minutes, guys, before the Tony Sands show is up. But I want to get into this. The guy said, you know, a very hypothetical question he asked Tom Brady when asking him how he'd feel and react to coming off the field in favor of Tim Tebow. And Tom Brady's words were, maybe, we'll deal with it when it happens. I think he knows that, you know, it's going to come that time to where, you know, Belichick may do some kind of crazy stuff with Tim Tebow. And Tom is confident in who he is as a person. I think that was the difference between Tim Tebow matchup with Sanchez. Sanchez was not comfortable in who he was as a player. And I think that's a lot different from where we're at now with Tom Brady in this situation. So I think that's why I think this situation works for Tim Tebow, and I hope he continues to stay there and flourish and learn from the great mind like a Bill Belichick. And I can see him, because their roster is not, you know, deep with quarterbacks. So, you know, you only have Ryan Mallett, Tim Tebow, and Tom Brady. And I think it goes at this point going into training camp, I think it goes Tom Brady, Ryan Mallett, and then Tim Tebow. And Tim Tebow becomes a equal number two with Ryan Mallett. Ryan Mallett probably had an advantage over because he understands the system. I think that's the furthest that go. But I'm going to tell you, Bibbs, hey, man, it was a pleasure, man, talking to you, having here on Tony Sands Show. Man, we got to get deeper into the Heat. Will the Heat, by the time we come on next Wednesday, will the Heat be in fire, or will the Heat be on their way to another championship? Learn that outcome next Wednesday here on the Tony Sands Show. B-Man, hey, it was a pleasure having you on the show. Can't wait to hear you next week. Let's
I appreciate
talk.
It, man. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. Every time, each and every Wednesday, get a chance to talk with my main man, Mr. Bibbs, and myself, Tony Sands, here on the Tony Sands Show. Thank you for letting us become part of your ear gate as we facilitate to you what's going on in the sports world here on the Tony Sands Show. Thank you.
It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hatin' on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.